Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD. Join Dr. Jewel here each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.net.
Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart, by Dr. Jewel Pilgrim. An incredible volume of work, Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Do you love what you hear on TJN? Visit thejewelnetwork.net and sign up for our new membership. For full access to our show archives in their entirety and more, visit www.thejewelnetwork.net for science at its finest. Thanks for listening.
Well, greetings, everyone. How are you? And welcome to the Dr. Jewel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you by the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, bringing you the sciences of life and living on TJN. So, as usual, here we are. This is November 6th, 2013, and there's just all kind of things that have been going on. Boy, oh boy, I have such a list of things that I would really like to talk about, but we have to look at what's most important. So as usual, you should have your universal solvent with you, high-quality water, as well as a pad and pencil. So that makes you VAC, visual, D, auditory, A, you're listening to me, you know, seeing yourself write your notes and diagrams, and holding the pen. Makes you kinesthetic, which activates these major circuits in the brain so that all the information you hear today will literally stick, process thoroughly the first time, on the first time of its exposure. So I'm really excited to talk to you about a few things here. And I saw something very fascinating that I thought is so interesting. You know, there's always a bickering going on with the political system, and people are still thinking there's not enough money, and it just goes on and on and on and on. TJN is devoted to bringing you into the real truth of what life can be about from a scientific basis. And as you know, we are devoted to the longevity of the body, the immortality of the body cells, and your capacity to live as long as you choose. Here at TJN, we're very clear that dying, an aging disease that primarily is initiated by states of consciousness. We have all kind of information to demonstrate that the human cells are immortal. When they are nourished properly, their basic nutrition your needs are met, as well as proper hydration, temperature, environmental factors are supportive for life, and the cell's consciousness is innately programmed to always thrive. Death is not an innate program for the tissues of the human body. There are software programs that appear to cause destruction of the tissues, but my observation of the research when they talk about apoptosis, which is the scientific term for the cell's auto-destruction of itself, they are definitely not recognizing the environmental factors that initiate that autolysis, nor are they really observing, or have they even thought about looking at what is the balancing factor that the tissues are also regenerating if environmental factors are changing. So, of course, it's just like your house. You know, if you bring packages into the house, et cetera, all that you can't utilize and totally process becomes a waste factor and it has to be removed. And if the substances are not removed at the rate that they accumulate, then there is a space issue, an energy imbalance, and a lot of other things. But what happens is as soon as you equilibrate the circumstances by taking the chaotic, unusable energies out of the house, whether it's in furniture or garbage or just unwanted, unused objects, you will find that the whole energetics of the house is invigorated and the house continues to stand. So if we look at the cell as a house, as long as energetics are balanced outside and inside of the cell will always stand and remain. So why am I talking to you about this today? Well, I saw something so interesting. It was just really cute to me. And I was looking at, I think, Nat Geo, National Geographic Wild, and they happen to be talking about cryogenics or cryobiology. And cryobiology, literally, cryonics, is the cryopreservation of human and animal tissues, which are obviously damaged by disease. But cryobiology is the study of how we can lower the body temperatures where the life force remains operative in the tissues, but yet and still there's minimal use of energies so that the metabolic processes and the aging processes of the tissues are minimized. And so obviously the more we are able to send probes into outer space to go to other planets and solar systems, with the advancement of our space station, we are now gearing up not only wanting to be able to tour in the human body or through the human body the planets in our solar system, but also to visit other star systems. And they're quite a distance away. You may have to literally be in trajectory for 80, 90, 200 years. So that's two star years, yes, 200 years, and how are you going to take your body? So all of these different methodologies have been under exploration for a while. So the attention getter for me was the observation that a gentleman had taken frogs, just regular pond frogs, and they were literally frozen. So they were like 30 degrees Fahrenheit. And I was like amazed. And, you know, he took them out of the refrigerator and tossed them, literally intensively tossed them up on the desk. And they kind of bounced around because they were frozen solid. And so he said, okay, now we're just going to leave these here and keep the room at an ambient temperature. and we're going to literally watch them reactivate themselves just like they would normally do if they were outside. This is what frogs do. They literally freeze. And so he says the key here is that, you know, it's not common for human tissue to be brought down to very low temperatures. And they gave some case studies where they had observed individuals who inadvertently exposed themselves to harsh temperatures, whether they fell into frozen water or were left outdoors, the temperature drastically dropped. But these individuals, their body temperature dropped down to 80 degrees. One individual's body temperature, a little baby, dropped down to 70 degrees. Amazing. And the baby was brought into the hospital, and they allowed the baby to warm up over time, literally thaw out. And the baby is perfect and fine, no problems. All these individuals were able to not just survive, but thrive through that experience, and that the memory was fine, no loss of limbs or digits or anything like this, even though the body temperature had dropped severely. So they are finding out something very interesting. So back to the frog, the analysis of what was in the blood of the frog is a very interesting substance that they have labeled as M22. So this is not a gun. This is a substance that is released by the liver. And it has a relationship with glycogen and glycerin. So it appears as though there is the capability of the liver to secrete a substance when the body temperature really begins to fall that literally allows this particular kind of glycolipid to be produced where, when it enters the bloodstream, the body can tolerate very low temperatures, but there is no crystallization of the water content of the cell. It appears as though when the water in the cells freezes and becomes crystalline, that is when the cell, especially the cell membrane, is damaged. So with the body temperature being lowered, but if the fluid aspect of the cell is not allowed to crystallize, the cell can resume its activities when the ambient temperature begins to rise. And so it's just really amazing by time-lapse photography to watch this frozen solid frog literally begin to breathe. And then finally the eyelids begin to flicker. And then the frog begin to raise its body up. And then the digits on the frog's hands and toes or feet begin to kind of move and undulate. And then finally the frog began to jump. So to see something come out of the freezer and just literally raise its temperature, allow the body temperature to raise itself, and then the frog just hops away is amazing. And because we have reptilians and amphibious genes in our own human genome, that capability to elicit and create this M22 substance in our livers is available to us. Of course, they didn't say that. This is what I'm extrapolating from the observations of what I know, that in our allo cortex we have the nervous system, the circuitry of all of these lower species of organisms in our brain, because our brain, the human brain, literally is an evolution of theirs. And so with evolution, the founding contributors are always imbued in the next level of evolution, but not omitted, because it is the building block for the next level of evolution. So it was amazing to recognize, and that's what we've been working on here at TJN, to literally elucidate and identify what are the neural circuitries and what are the states of consciousness that an individual is to create and sustain to allow the circuits of the brain to begin to create the neuropeptides that can give the liver this type of instruction, where the human genome in the liver cells can be accessed by the cells to receive instruction on how to manufacture M22 at will. One of the things that was so interesting that this documentary talked about is that the ability to create this glycolic type solution, M22, that prevents the water in the cells from freezing in severe low temperatures was stimulated by acute trauma of some type. Acute exposure to a very severe environment appears to be the nidus that stimulated the liver to begin to activate its tissues to produce this M22. So the question is, how can this be done without the individual having to be exposed to immediate dire and circumstances, and how can we be assured that the production of M22 is going to be adequate in most people that we would want to basically send to outer space or put into a state of quiescence where the tissues don't deteriorate while they are literally at a state of rest. So what's fascinating here is that we have the ability to experience all of these different very extreme environments, just like the bacteria and all these other lower species of life forms that exhibit to us, that they can literally adapt and master any of these changes that Mother Nature may offer. And it appears that only the human is the vocalizer of what they cannot do, how we have limitations here and limitations there, and this is possible. But yet and still, all of these organisms that have far less brain tissue than we have far fewer cells than we have, are doing incredible things. So I know we have the intelligence of a pond frog, without question. We are far more intelligent than a pond frog. But yet and still, the capacity for us to be able to put ourselves in a state literally of almost suspended animation by being able to trigger the substances needed to allow the tissues to go into a resting state where they don't require nourishment, where they don't require having to eliminate waste, is available to us if we can perceive in a more complete manner an observation of who we really are. So I just want to put that on your mind to let you know that you have the genes that will allow you to be able to go into states of animation and very slow metabolic processes that do not provoke a death response, that allow you to be very efficient in the utilization of your energy. And you can do this for long periods of time. So if a frog can manage to do this 4 or 5 months, et cetera, obviously, we, if we choose to, can also learn how to think in the appropriate manner that allows the neurons of the brain to open its own circuitry, which is software, that these commands can be then translated to the tissues of the body and on and on. The DNA is activated in the cells, and, you know, the whole process is wonderful that we can begin to experience these kind of activities. So we don't get a lot of broadcasting and the media is about all this kind of wonderful, exciting research. And again, that's why DJN spends the time and energy to bring these things to your attention, because they should be just as humorous to you as exciting and invigorating to you as learning about the next movies that are going to be available on Friday. Why? Because these are realities about your capabilities that at any time you can purchase the support to have these experiences somewhere very soon in your future. So it's interesting that they have these terms, and I want to just share them with you. There's a term known as vitrification. And this vitrification process is very interesting because it is a form of preservation. However, it prevents, again, the toxic reactions that usually happen when tissue is literally frozen because of this crystallization that occurs with the water content of the cell. This vitrification process is a methodology literally that's being used to store embryos as well as ovum and sperm. And at least at those levels, we've been able to reactivate those tissues where in artificial insemination, et cetera, all of these tissues can be restored to their active functional state and allowed to go on in progress into healthy fetuses and then finally into children. So there's a lot of interesting information here that you may want to do some research on. You can put into your search engine M22 for cryo storage, and you'll see the vocabulary and vernacular and all the latest research on cooling rates, et cetera, come up for you so that you can then begin to literally dream about the possibility of you being put into a vitrification process so that when you are brought back to your ambient state of awareness, you'll be on one of the planets in the star system, Sirius. How about that? What a vision that could be for you. Interesting. So these charts and graphs are quite interesting, and for those of you who are mathematicians and biologists, you may find all this very, very exciting. So, again, that glycerol, which can be produced by the liver, because we know that our livers do produce glucose as well as glucagon, glycol, which again can easily be changed into glycerol. Interesting. So we have unlimited capacity. Don't doubt yourself. Just remember that you can be whatever you can be if you know how to use this brain. Amazing. Amazing. So I'm getting instructions that we have a message from our sponsor, and then I want to talk to you about something else I think is important. And here we go again with the building blocks for all of our reality known as light. We have to really align ourselves and get right with the light. And so we've got some issues going on with that. And I'm going to talk about that after this message. I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jewel. OrganoGold provides fine coffee, green tea, and hot chocolate products blended with the remarkable mushroom known as Ganoderma, referred to by the Cantonese as Ling Shi, the herb of spiritual potency. Organoderma improves the immune system, increases metabolism, eliminates toxins and free radicals, as well as provides energy and vitality. OrganoGold products are a delicious solution that can help ensure that your health and energy balance is one prepared for a lifestyle of longevity. Click the banner on thejewelnetwork.net or send an email to goldcoffeeforlife@gmail.com and get yours today.
Well, greetings. If you're just tuning in, welcome to the Jewel Network. This show is the Dr. Jewel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and I'm glad that you're here visiting me. We are talking about a couple things today. We just were sharing about the fact that our bodies literally can cool down, very much so, so that we go into a state of quiescence, suspended animation, literally, where we can be transported over time to places that, if we were conscious, we'd use up so much energy, may be a problem. And therefore, we can be put to a state of quiescence where the need to eat, to eliminate, is eliminated. So therefore, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen with your waste and all these different things, because the cells are definitely not needing any energy to that extent. So that also allows you to be able to travel very long distances and not have to be concerned about the management of food and elimination of waste. That obviously is in the best interest of all involved, and especially the vehicle that you may be traveling through. One day, okay, we'll be able to be in vehicles that basically don't even create waste, which means that they don't even really need to be fed. They'll be able to work off other energies, such as prana out of the air. But right now, our cells do have the capacity to go into these states of suspended animation. We can make those substances in our body, but most of our scientists are not recognizing the criteria to do any of these, quote, humanoid activities. And I say humanoid based on the fact that these are activities that an individual whose consciousness resides in the prefrontal cortex of the brain can command of the body. One of the things my colleagues are going to have to really comprehend is that a lot of these capabilities that are available to us cannot be accessed in the tissues of our body until we have more integrated brain neuronal connections present. So Dr. Singh is his name. He wrote the wonderful book, Connectome, C-O-N-N-E-C-T-O-M-E. And he makes that known, that the more neurons that are communicating, the more of your DNA you can access. And so, therefore, if we haven't spent time priming the brain, integrating the neurons and the dendrites of the brain, there are going to be certain segments and dimensions of DNA that we are not going to be able, at will, by our intent, activate. And so, therefore, you are going to have some type of intrusive process, attempt to activate them for you. It's going to be successful at times, other times, and usually most of the time it will not be, because, again, you do not have enough neuronal connections to sustain the result of what someone has extrinsically created for you, and it usually is going to result in some kind of residual limitation that is going to need to be treated. When, if we understand the importance of allowing all of the axons, all of the dendrites to become communicative, then these microcircuits that need to be formed of communication, which to the brain is chemistry, will allow the bloodstream to be of such a quality where the cells will automatically comply to our will and desire. So, again, I personally am dedicated. I tell you, after all these years of medical practice, hearing all the stories, here seeing all of these different phenomena and situations that we've put our bodies into, the bottom line always comes back to how is the brain hardwired, and will the individual change the wiring, that is the neuronal connections of the brain, to obtain a different result by the same body. See, this is what is so important for you to understand here in the 21st century, is that the body can be anything that you say it can be, but you've got to be able to access certain circuits in the brain to give the tissues the new command. And if you do not know how to do that, guess what? The only way the body is going to be able to conform to your desire, someone is going to have to do it for you. And it is not your destiny to be at the whim of others to create change in your body that you were born innately to create in yourself. So right now, you know, civilization is just totally overwhelmed with just all kind of perceptions and fantasies, only from the perspective that they're living on what I call the sizzle of what's being projected to them. But in no way is humanity literally chewing and digesting the steak of these potentials. Well, I'll say it again. What I'm saying to you is that you literally being able to be the images that are being flashed in front of you, hung all around you, pasted up on the billboards all around you. You could be all of those things, not just basically have people dictating you to you, telling you that these are potentials. So buy this aspect of what may possibly be for you next year or 10 years from now, et cetera. You can be all of this. So the being is the stake of the issue here, not just the idea or the aroma or the dress of or the look of or the taste of, which is what you're being sold, instead of you buying the true tools that will allow you to be able to be all these things. And any tool that does not involve supporting you in bringing about a complete development of the brain itself and the nervous system and stimulating more constructive neuronal connections is selling you sizzle, not steak. You have to understand that. It's very, very, very important to get this. And so, you know, I don't know how many millions of people may have to lose control of their body, which is what most people call death, before they get it, that they were trying to have a life just based on sizzle. No real foundation, no real substance that allows them to literally be in control and make changes at their own whim, and at their own whim, will, as they desire. They're not being empowered that way, and it's very intense how you're literally being seduced to accept nothing but the superficial and the scent of what literally is genuinely yours if you do the work. But if your nervous system is raggedy, and so, oh, some of you are asking, well, what does a raggedy nervous system mean? Well, you're medicating it every 20 minutes, half an hour, three or four times a day. It's raggedy. You've got to light a cigarette. Okay, you've got to basically smoke a stimulant. You've got to swallow a downer. Your nervous system is raggedy. Okay, you're jittery, you're shaking, you're on medication. For whatever reason, your nervous system is raggedy. Your joints are aching, stiff. You've lost the geometry, the shape of your body. your nervous system is raggedy, because you don't lose the shape of your body if the nervous system is functioning properly. So nobody's telling the individuals who are obese that their nervous system is malfunctioning. So they're asking you to, you know, not eat this and do this and, you know, run around a treadmill or whatever else, et cetera. But where is the regeneration of the nervous system coming in? Because you're not going to be able to hold the geometry of your body without the nervous system basically returning to its innate neurologic, neuronal, communicative template and structure. So most of these people were not born fat, but they're under the influence of additives in the diet, which, what, affect the nervous system, hormones that affect the nervous system, drugs in the water that are not being filtered out affect the nervous system, but nobody's basically telling you, you've got to get busy regenerating the nervous system and realigning and reactivating its circuitry. So, again, you know, after all the patients I've seen and all of the surgery I've done and the prescriptions I've written, et cetera, I recognize that when a person has a healthy nervous system, all they have to do is think about what they want and hold the focus, and the body will snap into the exact geometry that's being held in the brain. That's just how simple it is. And so, to me, it gets very clear why very little is done to support nervous system growth and development and integration. That, you know, for almost 100 years, we were walking around talking about crazy stuff, okay, and all kind of diagnoses neurologically and emotionally, et cetera, instead of really getting serious about really understanding what was happening in the human nervous system, known as the mainframe computer. So we've gotten much more respectful of the nervous system, et cetera, but there's still so much that is being withheld from the people. So I can tell you this, you're never going to have peace in a society that's not able to use at will both hemispheres of the brain. The brain has two hemispheres for a reason, and trust me, as efficient as Mother Nature is, there wouldn't be a reason to put two hemispheres of the brain inside your cranium if they weren't necessary. If it wasn't necessary for you to have five toes on each foot and on fingers on each hand, they wouldn't need to be there. They wouldn't be there. So this denial that we walk around as humans and think that, you know, we can get by is not how you were created. You were not created to get by. Life for you was to be almost something that we don't have a language at this time to even begin to express. But because the environment has been so deficient in high-quality stimulation to remind you and nurture you about how great and awesome you are, this is the level of descent that we are existing in. And it really is not reflective of our greatness in tissue and in neurologic capability. So, with that said, and I really want you to think about it, you know, this is not the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program, but, you know, I always find it very difficult not to talk about the importance of developing and integrating your nervous system when it comes to anything. Everything that you do is dependent upon the degree of your nervous system being healthy and fully integrated. And don't ever think that's not the case. And so for you to mess around and basically do everything else except get busy and develop an awesome brain and nervous system is really kind of wasting your time. And I'm just going to always have to bring that truth to you until you can get it. I remember in the 70s and 80s, I used to always prescribe probiotics for any patients that came to me that were on antibiotics. When I basically left my surgical practice in the early 80s, I recognized that also there wasn't really a need for a lot of antibiotics if you understood the nature of plants and which ones to use. So I did my studies in herbology to be able to do that. But there were still lots of patients coming to me, and they were having side effects from taking antibiotics. So I was giving them probiotics, lactobacillus, bifida, preparations, et cetera, to recolonize the digestive tract. They were suffering from multiple vitamin deficiencies. We rely on the bacteria in our gut to also make vitamins in our behalf. And it was amazing the things that the institutions were saying about us physicians who were recolonizing the digestive tract, that we were fanatics and that, you know, we were totally misinformed and over and over and over again as the patients were being eaten up by yeast and fungus, because the bacteria also helped to bring about a balance between these two variants of microorganisms. So now you can hardly get through a standard TV program without Danone yogurt or Greek yogurt or Activia, all these other products now that all have probiotics in them. And I was like, you know, this is amazing that it's taken almost 30 years for our society in general to catch up to giving ourselves what it is that we need. And why were we so fighting and why were we arguing about this for over 30 years? And then the very companies that really didn't care. Look at the history. How long had Danone yogurt been producing yogurt? But now all of a sudden, you know, they're so probiotic. Okay, but they knew that you can only make yogurt from what? Bacteria culture. So did they step up to the plate and talk about how this does this, this, that, and the other? Oh, no. They were telling you yogurt just based on how pretty they could make it look and the flavorings they could put in it. And they did this for decades. But now all of a sudden, since, you know, it's okay, and that's another additive and another aspect that we can use to ensure that people are going to include this in their diet and on their food budget every week, definitely now let's bring it to their attention. So I just say that to say that this is another example again of how you're being sold sizzle instead of giving you the real merit and the real foundation, the real stake of what you need to be the best you can be. And I think about all those patients that have suffered, the skin ruined, the digestive tract almost brought to pure exhaustion, the amount of weight they lost, the minerals and things they lost because these antibiotics. And all they had to do was just recommend that after you finish the series of antibiotics, you got to put the bacteria back in your gut. So, again, I really want you to pay attention here and recognize that you can know what you need to do without having to hope that the manufacturers would be honest enough and straightforward to give you the stake of what you really need to be the best you can be. And how can you know that, regardless of whether they do it or not? By developing your brain. Because that's what I did. I developed my brain and recognized that, you know, giving me an antibiotic if I need that is only part of the issue. It kills not only the bacteria that you're accusing of causing my symptoms, but it also kills my friendly bacteria that I need to replace. What am I going to do? How am I going to replace that? Well, to tell me that, you know, don't worry about it or just not even address it, it's not adequate. That's what my brain was able to say. So I need to get busy finding out what are the organisms that normally are in my gut and figure out how I can put those back on my own. Because I had enough brain tissue that was communicative that I could basically see the bigger picture and take responsibility for it. And that is always your responsibility, to see all that is available for you to see and utilize the information that the brain and the ears and the skin, the nose are taking in and make the proper deductions to allow your body to stay in balance. And all of that is about what? the health of the brain and the integration of the brain and its extension, the nervous system. Very, very, very important. Now, again, my sponsors are asking me to take a break. They want to say hello to you, so I will allow them to do that, and then we're going to talk about light. So I'll be right back after this.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life, less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
Well, greetings. If you just tuned in, welcome. This is the Dr. Jewel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you by the Jewel Network, the Jewel Network. Jewel is an acronym for Justifiably Enchanted with Enlightened Living. So when I say to you, the Jewel Network is Justifiably Enchanted with Enlightened Living, I'm literally giving you the phrase that the word jewel was extracted from. We are justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. We know that having the mind of a scientist to be able to care for this incredible body that we have created and that we enliven and animate is the key to success in experiencing everything that's available for us to know in the Hertzian realm of the electromagnetic spectrum. We are light beings that have formed a vehicle to have a wonderful party indefinitely in Hertz, in the Hertz frequency of the electromagnetic spectrum. And when we get tired of this frequency, we can have the same experience in infrared, ultraviolet, cosmic, gamma, x-ray, because all of these frequencies form the electromagnetic spectrum. Our bodies are composed of the electromagnetic spectrum, as is everything else in this dimension. And this has been known for a very long time, but nobody's telling you that everything is made out of light. Everything. It's just amazing. This is what I'm talking about. You've got to want to be justifiably enchanted with enlightened living and develop that brain so that you can have this kind of information and know what you are and what you're surrounded by at all times. So that is to say that the Jewel Network is bringing you the sciences of life and living. And again, you know, I can talk to you about all the microbiotics that's going on and all the astrophysics and all the astronomy, et cetera. But when you can't basically bring all that back to who you are, because all of this is about you, you as a conscious field of energy that is animating light that has been collapsed into a wavelength frequency known as Hertz, that you are navigating, then all of this means what? You're not going to get much out of it because nobody ever made the connection that this was about you. This is about you. So when someone tells you that they are now manipulating light, you surely should pay attention. Your ears and eyes and hairs and everything else should stand on end, because they are telling you that we are now manipulating the building blocks of the body that you are animating, which means then that they're going to change your capacity to create and interact with everything in this dimension. That's what they're saying to you. So, of course, because, again, we've been sold on sizzle, you don't have any stake, no founding concepts and ideas about who you are, your literally origin of what you are, et cetera, people can just come to you and literally insult you and tell you that I'm getting ready to manipulate the very building blocks of what you're made out of and even form a law to tell you that you cannot interact with these wavelengths of light. And I was like, now that is amazing. You, as, quote, a lawmaker that is composed of all of the wavelengths of light, would make a law to inhibit yourself from interacting with the full spectrum of all of the frequencies that are needed for your body to exist. You're going to make a law and inhibit yourself and other people from interacting with full spectrum light? Only a mad person would do that. Only a person who is totally so narrow and only must have two connectones, two neurons, and two dendrites communicating would do such an idiotic thing. I'm just astounded that I have to sit here and read this to you. But you're not justifiably enchanted with enlightened living yet. You still want to deal with the vapors of life instead of what the real substance is, and so they can run these games on you. That is amazing to me. So what do we have here? I have an article, and I really want to thank them for doing this. I think this came from Dr. Mercola, and you can go visit his website, drmercola, mercola.com. And, you know, he wrote a nice little book on melatonin because they're giving you the runaround about that. And that, again, is dependent upon the integration of that brain of yours. But let's look at this situation here. Early this year, Congress passed a bill that will literally outlaw the use of old-fashioned incandescent light bulbs. And now they've also formed a whole network where you can also get rid of your fluorescent light bulbs, because they got a whole new light bulb for you. That light bulb is amazing. And I'm like, boy, oh boy, people are putting this light bulb up in their sockets in their house and they don't even know what they're doing. I mean, they are so adamant about getting this light bulb to you, they are giving the light bulbs away free. They're just going around in people's blocks and homes and giving you these light bulbs. You know which ones they are. These are the ones that look like screws, you know. They have the coil on the inside. Well, anyway, this is what we have here. A recent news release stated that the new law is part of what? A massive governmental energy-saving program that will completely phase out the use of those energy-gobbling incandescent light bulbs by the year 2014. Now, that is amazing to me. Energy gobbling incandescent light bulbs. Who's gobbling up the energy? That should be the question here. If you had two hemispheres of the brain that were communicating, you'd be like, energy gobbling. Who's gobbling up the energy? And what is the issue with the incandescent bulb? And what is the issue with the fluorescent bulb? Do I have the science to understand that? Now it says here that you might be wondering what on earth the government's up to. Going after light bulbs, huh? Question. Well, yeah, that is a very interesting question. And it's one that you need to think about. Can you think on it? Are your neurons articulating and communicating? Are your dendrites communicating? Do you have access to the right and left hemisphere of the brain to see this whole picture? So the alleged activities here from getting rid of those incandescent bulbs that are, quote, gobbling up energy, it says that once the change is in effect, the boost in energy efficiency and savings will be at the very least a whopping 70% overall. But who's going to benefit from the whopping 70% overall? Because what they're not telling you is that these energy-saving light bulbs only emit one frequency of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. You are going to have deficiency you have never, ever seen in your life, and you have no medical system that can even treat them because they just barely figured out that if people don't even get enough full-spectrum light, that the whole functionality of the body changes. They call it seasonal affective disorder. Yes, they do. Sad. They just figured that out. And then they're going to say, well, you can only have exposure to one of the wavelengths. Now, I want you to go to Wikipedia, and I want you to put in the electromagnetic spectrum, the full electromagnetic spectrum, and let them show you how many wavelengths compose the full electromagnetic spectrum. And what you're going to see is that they're going to show you that this one little teeny spectrum known as VL, that's the abbreviation for visual light, it is the smallest spectrum available in this wavelength known as Hertz. The VL is the smallest spectrum. It only ranges somewhere between 400 nanometers up to 950. Very teeny-weeny spectrum. So when you look at that chart, and they're going to show you that there's infrared and that there's ultraviolet and that there's gamma rays and there's cosmic rays and there's X-ray and there's laser and there's sound and tetrahertz and all of these other frequencies, they are telling you, this government, that we don't want you to have access to any of those other wavelengths, even though the physical body is made out of all of them, which means that the body needs all of them to sustain its health and integrity. But they're telling you that you are only going to get one wavelength out of all of these wavelengths. And if you can see properly, you have enough brain tissue integrated to see this properly, you are going to be in a serious fix. It's amazing. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, humanity doesn't get it yet. Why would we want to limit ourselves to expose ourselves to one wavelength when we're made out of an infinite number of wavelengths? We don't know all of the wavelengths in the full electromagnetic spectrum. So when we say full electromagnetic spectrum, we're just acknowledging that based on the level of our brain integration and based on the sophistication of the instruments that we've been able to create, these are the wavelengths that we can identify. Now, most of the scientists are not balanced brain. They are unilateral brained. They are either right or left hemisphere dominant. They do not have equal access to the right and the left hemisphere of the brain, which means then that they're not able to perceive all of the potential wavelengths that are available that we probably don't even have names for yet and haven't even created instruments sensitive enough to even acknowledge and measure their presence. And then you're going to have these same people come and tell you that, oh, no, you don't want to have a light bulb that's going to expose you to infrared as well as ultraviolet and also laser. Oh, no, you only have the VL or the visual light spectrum. So that little coil light that they're giving you, it emanates 95% visual light only. When I looked at the chart of the word that they use for this, but I'm just going to use the term emission. The emission frequency from that supposedly coiled energy-saving green light bulb is only one wavelength, 95% one wavelength, and it drops off severely in the ultraviolet and in the infrared ranges. Now, what was so wonderful about the incandescent bulb, even though it was still very much deficient as far as being full spectrum, is that it emanated at least ultraviolet rays, full visual light spectrum, and a considerable amount of infrared. So therefore, we were at least getting relative fluorescence of three wavelengths of the composite of all of these numerous wavelengths that the body is composed of. And now they have eliminated it and diminished it down to just one wavelength, and it's the smallest wavelength. If we were going to say, okay, if you're going to give us one wavelength, let's pick the one that's most efficient for us. And you know which one it would be? It would be ultraviolet light, the one that melanin recessive individuals claim they can't tolerate. But yet and still, we've known since the late 1900s that UV light does not allow immune deficiency disorders in the presence of proper melanation. UV light is not a problem. It's only in people who are melanin deficient that cannot tolerate ultraviolet radiation. And we know that melanin deficient individuals are melanin deficient by choice. They have the gene present that they can use to transform tyrosinase into melanin when it acts on tyrosine. The gene is just in very low activity. And we know that genes are controlled by what? States of consciousness first, and then secondly, your perception of the energy in your environment. Did you hear what I said? Your perception of the energy in your environment. Why their genes are turned down. And so, therefore, is everybody else to suffer because they've decided that they don't want to tolerate ultraviolet radiation because they have a dependency on having a phenotype that makes them look the way they look? Because if they had basically a neutral attitude about themselves and a desire, a full desire to want to totally integrate with the environment to be able to totally tolerate the sun, totally tolerate the full ambience of life force that's coming from the earth, they could not maintain a melanin recessive phenotype. They would naturally take on a much more melanated color. So therefore, now we have light bulbs that basically are only going to emanate and release through emission the visual light spectra. And most people are already suffering from inadequate sunlight, which gives you full spectrum radiation. So here we are again. We got some problems. So, boy, my time is really up here. Didn't recognize that. Again, I want to say tune in tomorrow to Music for the Mind of a Scientist. And again, please purchase full spectrum lamp or stay with your incandescent bulbs as long as you can and save up for your full spectrum lights. Do not use the single emission visual light radiant bulbs. They are going to cause serious deficiencies. Boy, you've never seen anything until you put yourself under that for about 6 months and see what's going to happen. No, 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 don't do that. So please visit drmercola.com, and you can see the full write-up here on how this is going to affect the brain, your skin, and everything. Get the full spectrum lights. And again, you have to think about the fact that how in the world could we have agencies that would decide that you only need to be exposed to one wavelength of light. It's amazing. Tune in tomorrow. I'll be back next week, Monday, the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program. And seriously, think about how in the world are you going to continue to walk around using only one hemisphere primarily of the brain? You got to get with the program and be a part of the 21st century, which requires you to have access to both hemispheres of the brain. Love you. Bye-bye.
www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.